Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. We sing to our guests before they speak to us. Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, good morning, good morning, how are you? I think she's enjoying this. I think they love the sound of my voice before they actually hear the radio. Let me see if Kelly might be on this line. Hello, Kelly.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
I loved your singing.
It is good, isn't it?
It was fabulous.
It's enough to make your dog howl.
I love your accent just speaking, so listening to it in tune was wonderful.
You're the first person that's ever said that. Listen, girl, I want to check one thing with you. Your surname sounds centre forward on the Italian soccer team. What's your surname?
My husband would love you for that. Ceccarelli.
Oh, Ceccarelli. Gosh, if I'm going to use a fake name on a Brazilian shirt, it's going to be, you know, I love the Pele, Jazinho, Ceccarelli, Ceccarelli, scores. That is a good name, Kelly. Kelly, you are the vice chairperson of the Pet Food Manufacturers Association. So I presume, or I would have thought, you would have been telling us to buy more food and stuff our animals until they get fat. But that isn't your argument.
Oh no, because that would stuffing our animals full of food would cause long-term health problems. So definitely not. And actually, obesity is at epidemic proportions with dogs and cats. And we've got nearly 50% of dogs and cats in the UK now being considered overweight or obese. It leads to long-term, long-lasting consequences, from heart disease to joint problems to even, I hate to say it, shorter lifespans. So it's something we need to try and stop.
So what's your advice? I've got a couple of wee dogs. I like to feed them on some tinned food. I found a brand that they like. There's a wee bit of dried food as well. They're very fussy, but I found two brands and they eat this stuff. They're terriers. How often should I be feeding them?
Oh, so many questions. We'll start with your last one about how many times you should be feeding them. If the frequency is not that important, what is important is that you don't overfeed the amount of calories that you need per day. So you look on the back of the bag, feeding guidelines will be there to make it nice and easy. You look at what the dog's weight is, how many grams they need to eat per day, or how many pouches, or how much of the tin, and you don't overdo that for the whole day. Whether you want to feed twice a day, three times a day, four times a day is really not relevant. You need to just stick to the feeding guidelines. And that's something most people don't do. Most people just feed, they guesstimate. They don't feed according to guidelines. And that's one of the reasons why we have this obesity epidemic. The other reason is guilt. In fact, we did a survey last year and found that guilt is the number one reason that people overfeed their pets.
Yeah, most dogs, I don't know about cats, but most dogs tend to be a bit overweight, don't they? And this is because we're forever spoiling them when we're in their company, having left them with, you know, as I do with my mum during the day, and feeling a bit guilty about the fact that I'm not personally looking after them.
Yeah, I mean, look, certainly 49% of dogs in the UK are overweight and 44% of cats. So the difference between dogs and cats is not that large. It's an issue for both species. So we need to really try and rein that in. And one of the reasons why we've started this pet pledge, the IAMS pet pledge, is to give people an opportunity to make a small change, to realise maybe I am overfeeding, or maybe I could be feeding a better quality diet, or maybe I shouldn't be feeding as much human food or as many treats as I feed to my pet. And make a pledge, go online and go to iams.co.uk, click on pet pledge, make that pledge, upload a picture of your pet, commit to that change and make a difference for your pet, for their life.
You sound like as if you're taking the Pioneer Pledge, or you're starting a diet at the beginning of the new year as a human. Is it that serious?
It really is. If you think, as I think I just mentioned, obesity reduces lifespan. And I think for your pet parents that are listening to this interview, if they want their dog or cat to live as long as they possibly can in a healthy way. We have a deep emotional connections with our pets. So the idea of them living 2 to 3 years shorter, less than they could, is really quite sad. And I think, you know, we need to keep that in the back of our mind. But I don't want to be too depressing. At the end of the day, we have dogs and cats in our lives because they make us happy and we make them happy. And that's something we shouldn't lose sight of. But we need to make sure that they are fed a good quality food feed according to guidelines and get exercising, and making a pledge is a good place to start.
How competitive is the animal food industry for the pets, the pet food industry, the dogs, the cats, the budgerigars and whatever? It must be is it a £1 billion industry?
Oh, it's a massive industry, and it is competitive. But the great thing for the consumer is there's a lot of choice. And the thing I would say to people, because when they go into a pet store to buy food for the first time, it can be incredibly overwhelming. Take a bag of food, look on the back of the bag, and see what the first ingredient is in that particular pet food. And if it's an animal protein, like chicken, turkey, egg, lamb, salmon, fish, that's a good indication of the quality. We shouldn't be seeing lots of cereals and carbohydrates as the first ingredient. And also try to stay away from the foods that contain plant-based proteins like soy, corn gluten, wheat gluten. Rather feed foods that contain good levels of high-quality animal protein.
Why is it, you know, are you arguing that, you know, the dog or the cat, they're never vegetarian?
Yeah, I mean, look, cats can never be vegetarian. Dogs can be. Dogs can be vegetarian. They'll maybe not be reached their full potential as they could if they were vegetarian, but cats can never be vegetarian, and that's because they need something in their body called taurine, you may have heard of. It's an amino acid that you can only find in meat. And if cats don't have that in their diet, they can have ill health problems, from heart problems to eye problems, can even cause blindness. So cats absolutely have to have taurine. You only get it in meat, in animal protein, and that. So you cannot feed cats as vegetarians. That's definitely not the way forward.
Every day is a school day, Kelly.
They love it. They love animal protein. They love meat. That's why you get meowed at when you've got it on your plate, let's face it.
Pronounce that surname for me again.
Ceccarelli.
Ceccarelli, I love it. Kelly, thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Kelly Ceccarelli, that has to be the name of the week. Good morning to you if you're just switching on the radio. Let me speak to Kieran, who's on line two, and he's about to have a conversation with us. Kieran, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. No, I was going to ask that lady. I always hear about you shouldn't give a dog onion. Especially raw onion. I wanted to know why.
Gosh, Kieran, you shouldn't give any living thing raw onion.
I heard that there are anything with onion in it that's not fully cooked. If you had a bit of salad or something sitting there, a mixed salad, and you weren't using it and you were giving it, people throw it down to their dogs or whatever.
Kelly is aware, but I think, gosh, it's pretty obvious. You know, the acids that would be coming out of a raw onion would ruin an animal's insides. Like, have you ever eaten a raw onion yourself, Kieran?
I can't eat them no more, Frank. That's why. That's why I want to understand it more about it, because it is apparently one of the... apparently someone says if you've got a flu or something like that, and you put an onion into a jar and you leave it at the side of your bed, apparently all the bacteria comes out of your body goes into that onion.
You know, it's probably an old wives' tale, but I wouldn't be surprised. Here's the answer to your question, all right? Onions contain an ingredient called thistleflit, okay, which is a toxic to cats and dogs. The ingestion of onions causes a condition called hemolytic anemia, which is characterized by damage to the red blood cells. Onion toxicity can cause the red blood cells circulating through your pet's body to burst. Stay as far away from raw onions as you possibly can, whether you're animal or human, Kieran. You'll explode.
See what I mean? And they're selling them like hotcakes, what?
I at the human level, of course, people do eat raw onions. I absolutely hate them myself. They're the one thing that I can't eat. I absolutely, if I even took a morsel of a raw onion accidentally in a coleslaw, I would be sick for maybe 24 hours. So, you know, I think that's an allergic reaction. So that's maybe why I'm speaking so vocally against them. The other thing I can't eat, strangely, is one of the most popular foods in Northern Ireland is cheese and onion crisps. I can't eat any brand of cheese and onion crisps.
That's one of my favourite, Frank.
Yeah, you see, most people can handle an onion. I can't, but don't. You are right. You raise a good point. Don't ever give them to your dogs or cats.
Because you know what I mean. If this topic didn't come up, you'd probably get a couple of people going, oh, frig, I give my dog a bit of onion that was in a salad the other day or whatever, you know?
This is true, this is true. I think Kieran didn't mean to say fiddlesticks, but his language, we'll forgive him if you do.